everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you here in the driver's seat. And over in the cockpit, behind the glass, is Tom Fairbanks.
In the observer's seat.
Engineering and producing the show. And that wind was really kicking up, Tom, driving in here this morning.
Areas of blowing dust. Helping people with allergies like me.
No, there is a health advisory out from the Pima County Health Department saying basically if you have an allergy issue, this would be just a good day to maybe pull the blinds, close the shutters, crank up the air, listen to Bill Buckmaster, and just don't go outside. It is Wednesday, midweek edition, April 21st, 2021. We're in year 11 here already on the radio. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios, and our home radio station is 1030. It's Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters are KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. It's buckmastershow.com. And the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health. And we're very proud to have her, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine. She's the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a Professor of Health, Family Medicine, and Public Health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She's committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. You know, Dr. Mazes, no one wants to be old before their time, but aging is indeed one of those facts of life. The good news, and we're going to explore a little of that in our session with you today, is there really are some simple things that can slow down aging and make the aging experience more fruitful and worthwhile.
Yes, and you know, slowing aging is challenging. I think that there are some things that are being researched that may really make a difference in the future. There is a category of medicines called sirtuins. One of them is resveratrol, which is the pigment that's in grapes or red wine, and it's an antioxidant, and there's some evidence to suggest that it may help prevent aging. It's anti-inflammatory, it protects the heart, and it protects the nervous system. That's great. There's some evidence that if you keep your blood sugar under really good control by eating a healthy diet, yes, but also there's a medicine called metformin, which is a widely prescribed medicine that's a hypoglycemic, so it lowers blood sugar. And that's been shown in mice, for example, to reduce aging and aging-related diseases like neurodegenerative diseases and cancer. So there are some things that are up and coming, but I think where we really have the strongest evidence is with lifestyle.
You know, I started taking that supplement you were referring to, the one that is made from the supplement from the red grapes.
Resveratrol.
Uh-huh. That supplement is, the prices on that are just all over the block. Some of them are actually from France, and they say they are, you know, perhaps better than the others. I don't know, but I am taking it because a lot of people have said it does, the research has shown there is some truth to it.
Well, like I said, it is actively being researched. I think we don't yet know what the right dose is, and it can be quite expensive. I, for example, am not taking it, but I am doing a lot of the other things that are recommended. And years ago, the MacArthur Foundation said maybe we should talk about healthy aging or successful aging. And the MacArthur Foundation defined successful aging as a low probability of disease, maintaining your cognitive function and your physical function, and being actively engaged with life. And they looked at the factors that would help contribute to that, and some of them are no-brainers. They're being physically active, following a Mediterranean diet, not smoking. That's a really important one. Having some kind of daily relaxation practice, committing to lifelong learning, being connected to other human beings, and having a purpose.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about smoking, and I think there is some new research on that, that smoking indeed does speed the aging process, something we don't want.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of different bodies of evidence to suggest that smoking does speed aging, but there was a really new, interesting new line of research that looked at blood tests of 49,000 adult smokers and compared them to 100,000 non-smokers. This was done in Alberta, Canada. And they showed that if you were a smoker, and you are a young person. So, for example, smokers under the age of 30, the blood test looked like you were somewhere between 30 and 50. So that's a dramatic elevation. If you were a non-smoker, then the blood test correctly predicted your age. So that's really worrisome, that smoking seems to show this accelerated aging in these large numbers of blood samples. And they did look at other factors, like did someone have diabetes or something else? And that wasn't, you know, the contribution. It was smoking.
Let's go over some of those other items that you mentioned besides smoking. I think exercise has to play a role as well, doesn't it?
It does. And let me just ask you, Bill, I'm going to put you on the spot
for a
second, and just say, if you were going to choose the form of exercise that was the absolute best for contributing to healthy aging, I'm going to give you three choices. Would you say it was walking on a treadmill, riding a bike, or playing tennis?
Walking on a treadmill.
So the answer is walking on a treadmill is definitely good for you, and it is associated in a large study of 20,000 people out of Copenhagen with 1.5 years of additional lifespan. So it increases your life expectancy by 1.5 years. Tennis, however, increases your life expectancy by 9.7 years.
Wow.
So tennis is the answer. And the researchers speculated that the advantage of tennis is it's obviously, you know, a form of exercise that gets your heart rate going, and it probably helps your flexibility and dexterity. But it also is a group activity. So it promotes a sense of social support and trust among people, and it contributes to a sense of well-being. And so exercises that are done communally seem to be more potent, actually, than ones that are done alone, like walking on a treadmill.
Well, the reason I chose walking is, you know, that's my form of exercise. I like to do a little walking every day. And we have talked over the years, Dr. Mazes, that a little bit actually goes a long way. If you feel like, you know, you're going to have to walk a certain amount of time, just get out there and do it whatever you can, correct?
I completely agree that walking, you know, it's like always available to us unless it's like 110 outside, but then maybe you could walk indoors somewhere. I think there's no question that walking is something that we really want to encourage for everybody. But I do think, you know, one of the nice things about evolution of the research that we have over time is we're getting a little bit more specificity. And so, you know, it's helpful to know that you know, given all things being equal, there are better and worse, you know, more effective, I should say, exercises. So tennis, 9.7 years, badminton, 6.2 years. Soccer, 4.7, riding a bicycle, 3.7, swimming, 3.4, jogging, 3.2. And there was a second really large study that was done that validated this, slightly different exercises asked about, but it turned out that riding a bicycle was one of the best. In another study, dancing ends up being a really good health promoting. So the most important thing is choose the one you'll do. You know, it's all well and good to say tennis, but you have no access to a tennis court and no one to play with. Well, you're not going to do that. So choose the one that you'll do and you'll do regularly, but think about whether there's an exercise that you can do together with others.
Let's see if we can work a quick call in before the break. And Brian had a question about smoking studies. Go ahead, Brian. You're with Dr. Mazes.
Yes. Hi. I apologize, but you know, I just happened to turn it on. I heard your factual data that you were providing in regards to smokers that took blood tests. Their blood tests were, there were people that were smoking that young in age. They looked like they were 30 to 50. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah, we were just talking about that study. Did you have a question? Did you have a question?
Well, my question is that, I mean, you're telling everybody this over the radio, but and it's been for years, I'm sure, over the course of years with smoking, but what you're not telling us is what the blood tests are testing for.
Okay.
You're telling me that they're 30 to 50, but you're also not telling me the demographic and what their environment is in regards to that, because many smokers, when they do smoke, are not necessarily the most nutritional people in the world.
Okay. I think, Dr. Mazes, that the group's median age of the study you were referring to in Alberta, Canada, was 55.
Yes, and I think your caller had a great point. You know, there's a lot of detail to this study. They did look at other factors that could be confounding factors, and the blood test that was the most important contributor was one that looked at your blood sugar average over the past 3 months. It's called hemoglobin A1C. And after that, it was your blood urea, your fasting glucose, and your serum ferritin. Diabetes or having, you know, elevated blood sugar does seem to be one of the factors that accelerates aging. So we're trying to talk today about things that slow aging, but diabetes is something that accelerates aging.
And Brian made a good point. People, that's what I like about being on the radio during the noon hour. It is like a what we call mini drive time, because people are getting in and out of their cars during the noon hour, so they don't sometimes hear the complete interview. So we're going to take a pause right here and talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. And they start serving breakfast at 6:30 in the morning. The Danish Kringle, unless you've really tried one, you really are missing a lot. It's a delicate, light and tasty multi-layered pastry, flaky layers, and filled with some very beautiful fillings like almond and strawberry. Beautiful even to look at, and then it's better even to eat. MonasDanishBakery.com is the website. Open right now for lunch. And by the way, the Help Wanted sign is out up at Mona's. If you're looking for a great place to work, ask Steve, the owner and chief baker, about an opportunity to work at Mona's. We'll be back. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks. A modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now with our conversation with our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. And we're always honored to have Dr. Mazes with us on the program. And today's topic, strategies for perhaps having a better aging experience, slowing down aging, or whatever. And John called us during the break, so let's go to John's comment for Dr. Mazes. Go ahead, John.
Dr. Mazes, have you heard about nicotinamid riboside?
I do know about nicotinamide, but I don't have a lot of information about it. What did you want to say?
Well, it's promoted as a fourth form of vitamin B that declines over time with aging. And it was found that supplementing this reverses some of those effects. It's only available through Elysium Health. And the article appeared 2 years ago in Chemical Engineering and News.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing about that. You know, it is a form of vitamin B3. There's a whole family of B vitamins. And the vitamins are what we call coenzymes. They really have to be present for a whole variety of metabolic effects to happen in the body, and they can regulate the circadian rhythm, and they can repair DNA damage. So I'm not surprised to hear that the nicotinamide riboside could have that effect, but I have to say I don't know a lot about that research.
Dr. Mays, is a new study, which the results published, I believe, in today's New York Times, sleeping too little in middle age may increase dementia risk. And apparently the Alzheimer's risk could have started 15 to 20 years before people start exhibiting symptoms of memory loss. And that would be based on, I guess, a period of time in that middle age period where it is very important to get enough sleep.
So most of us would agree that if we were going to have a healthy aging or successful aging, we would not end up with dementia. I mean, we mostly all want to avoid having Alzheimer's dementia. It's really a very challenging condition. And I think what this new study that just came out really contributes is that it was done over a 30-year period. And it turns out that the changes we see in the brain and Alzheimer's, these tangles and this buildup of plaque, doesn't happen overnight. It's thought to take 15 to 20 years. And so a lot of the earlier studies that said if you don't get enough sleep, you may have a higher risk of dementia, there was this kind of chicken and the egg phenomenon. Maybe people who have dementia don't sleep enough, or maybe not enough sleep causes dementia. This study, which was done in the UK, it's called the Whitehall 2 study, as I said, it followed people for 30 years. So there was enough time. They started in middle age at 50. There was enough time to see that way, way before any onset of Alzheimer's, there already was this pattern of people sleeping 6 hours or less. And that pattern was associated with a significantly higher risk of developing Alzheimer's in your later 70s.
It is so important to get a good night's sleep. There's something called a blue zone. What is that about?
Well, interestingly enough, as we talk again about what it means to age well, Dan Buettner is a New York Times bestselling author who looked at these five places in the world, and he called them blue zones. And he defined blue zones as places where people live the longest, healthiest lives, and they had certain things in common. One, they were physically active, not necessarily going to the gym. Their daily life required it. So they gardened, or they walked to shop for their food or to talk to their neighbors. They had a sense of purpose, and that's actually associated with being healthier and having healthier behaviors. They took a break to de-stress. So, for example, people in the Greek island that was a blue zone took a nap every afternoon. Seventh-day Adventists are another blue zone group, and they pray every day. They ate a diet that included a lot of plants. So it wasn't that they didn't eat any meat, but it was very much what we call a plant-forward diet where there was little meat. Except for the Seventh-day Adventists, they drank 1 to 2 glasses of wine a day. They had a spiritual practice of one form of it or another, not necessarily religious practice, but some kind of spiritual practice. And lastly, they put their families in front of earning money or having a career. Their families were really important to them. So I think those are some lovely takeaways from the blue zones, many of which we actually could include in our own lives.
I'm glad to hear that about wine, since I have switched over to having a glass of wine now with my meal every night. And I think it's helping digest the food, relaxes me a little bit, and I was glad to hear that you included that.
Yes, just a couple of other things. Social isolation, which I have to say, you know, we're all wrestling with during the pandemic, our social lives have certainly been impacted, is one of the things that you really want to avoid. There's an increased risk of Alzheimer's with that, and also midlife hearing loss. And most people think the reason that hearing loss affects isolation is that when you're not able to hear, it does actually isolate you. It takes you away from the conversations that are going on around you. So if you notice any hearing loss that's, you know, significant and you're kind of not catching the whole conversation, think about getting a hearing aid.
Yeah, that's good advice as well. Some hearing loss, I guess, is normal with aging. Is that correct, Dr. Mazes?
Well, it's certainly common with aging.
It's common.
And, you know, whether it's the noise exposure at younger ages, but the hearing aids that are out there now have gotten better and better over time. And it is definitely one of the things that has been shown to help prevent Alzheimer's. So if you're struggling, think about a hearing aid. And if you're young, think about protecting your hearing.
Very good advice. Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. I always enjoy our conversations.
Me too. Take good care, Bill.
Thanks a lot. You can learn more about Dr. Victoria Mazes on her website, Victoria Mazes. Mazes is spelled M-A-I-Z-E-S. MD.com, or you can follow her at Twitter at VMazes, and you can also find out more about her through the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, which is based at the University of Arizona. Midway point in the midweek show of the Buckmaster Program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Rabbi Tom Lockheim is next. Be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back, Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. It's perfect weather. Well, maybe not so much today with all the wind, but the weather has been really conducive to doing some gardening, and that's why we strongly recommend that if you're looking to put some beautiful spring color in the garden and something that will survive this very difficult time with the drought and very warm temperatures, check out Green Things. They're in their 51st year. They have 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. How do you beat that location over on River Road, 3384 East River Road? Their website is greenthingsaz.com. They're open daily. And when you're over there checking out some great plants, also check out Zocalo Village, which has some beautiful handmade furniture. Much of it, some of those mesquite dining room tables are beautiful. So check that out. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Two Tucson synagogues have decided to join forces and create a new synagogue with a new mission. Joining forces are Temple Emmanuel on North Country Club and Congregation Ora Hadash on North Alvernon Way. With me in studio, Rabbi Tom Lockheim of Congregation Ora Hadash. Rabbi, it's good to see you again.
Bill, it's great to see you personally face-to-face again. I love it.
Yeah, we've done some phone interviews, but nothing like having a guest with me back in studio. So what is this all about? Do you call it a merger, or do you call it sign of, like I mentioned, kind of joining spiritual forces?
Well, I think you had it right when you introduced me, and that was that we are definitely not merging, but we're creating a new synagogue in our community with a very new mission. And it's a very challenging mission. And we're many of us are really excited. We've been working together for the last couple of years, and so we've collaborated quite a bit. But the challenge of creating something new and giving up, not giving up the old cultures, but adapting them to a new environment is something really exciting for all of us.
And this is not a result of COVID. These talks began before COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Because some might think, well, I guess because of COVID, and they decided they needed to do this.
Yeah, well, across the country, there was a decline, as you're probably aware,
sure.
In churches.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much in mosques. I think the Muslim population is growing throughout the world, but for some Christian denominations and Jewish denominations, our numbers are dwindling as far as attending church or synagogue. And so a number of synagogues prior to COVID were looking to
consolidate.
Sure. Right.
Yeah,
and this is a consolidation, but it's also, as you said, it's a new mission.
And what would that mission be?
We haven't adopted it formally, so you have to keep this quiet.
Okay. Nobody's listening. No. Just a few people.
I hope that's not true.
No, it is not true.
Okay. It's a home for joyful Judaism. So most synagogues, they talk about educating the youth and educating their adults and being a place where people can gather and things like that. And one of the things I noticed when I went and looked at different synagogue websites as we were pulling things together was all the pictures of happy kids, happy adults, happy rabbis. And I said, why shouldn't that be part of our mission to create something that's really joyful and engaging? And we all want to be engaging, but to be joyful is an additional challenge in a religious institution.
Were these factors perhaps maybe just not as prominent in the two existing congregations that are coming together?
Yeah, I mean, we had our successful...
I mean, not that people didn't smile.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, right.
But, yeah.
Right. No, I think Temple Emmanuel for over 100 years has been a success.
It's one of the landmark congregations.
Yeah, it was created before Arizona became a state. Well, it was still a territory.
Yeah.
And then Orchidosh has been in existence for 25 years. And we were successful, both institutions were successful at what we were doing. But there was a financial impact that went into this decision. But also, they have certain assets that we don't have, and we have assets that maybe benefit them. Mm-hmm. So bringing them together over the last couple of years and then formalizing, saying, hey, let's do this permanently, became a great idea.
And the name of the congregation?
So we love it. It's Kol Ami, which is Hebrew.
Kol Ami.
Yeah, Kol Ami, which are two Hebrew words. Kol means all. Ami means my people.
Hmm.
So it's all of my people.
Mm-hmm. And when do you think this is going to happen?
So we formally, both congregations formally said, let's do it. So in January, we took a vote, and overwhelmingly, the majority of both congregations says, let's create Kol Ami. So now it's a process of all the legal stuff and also working on formally bringing the different groups together, different committees together, our different auxiliaries together to work side by side and see the best way to manage that process.
How about during the COVID? How did you manage you and your congregation?
So I sort of have to laugh about it because it's very much has been a challenge for our membership. Because for those who loved coming to Friday night or Saturday services, being together, seeing old friends, boy, has this been a disappointing year for them. It's just been really tough on them. The reason I'm half smiling and half comforting those who can't come is that we've been able to outreach to many more people than we did before. So on live streaming and in Zoom. And we're providing an opportunity for people who could not come beforehand, either they couldn't drive, didn't want to drive too far, whatever it was. They can now come on Facebook Live or they can stream. So they have an opportunity to engage where they wouldn't engage before. And we've got people in adult study. Our religious school is doing well, doing it remotely. But so we're looking forward to the pandemic ending and certainly not getting back to normal, because I think normal was okay, but we can do things much better when we offer things remotely. So we can still do have people come in, but also live stream and still do things on Zoom and engage more people this way. So that's exciting.
It is hard though to do counseling remotely.
Yeah,
I wanted to share a quote from New York Times columnist David Brooks. He says, I have found I am so burned out on computer screens and so burned out about the politicking of everything. Everything has become so political.
Right.
But I think what he is saying is with the computer screens, I know I like to talk to people in person, one-on-one.
Sure.
I mean, we coped during the COVID here by going on many shows, all telephonic, but I missed having someone seated across from me like you are right now.
Sure.
And in your role as a rabbi and in counseling people, on the computer, I mean, you did it, I'm sure, and you talked to people on the phone, but how much of did you miss of the one-on-one contact?
I'm just like you, Bill. I love the one-on-one. I love people. I love embracing them. I don't know how much embracing we're going to do after this is over.
What they call the new norm, and you've got to wonder, you know, we're in uncharted territory.
Right.
Is the handshake going to be the gone? I mean, I hope not.
Well, I
or the hug.
I'll tell you, I was raised in Japanese culture. I don't know if you know my beginning story, but
I don't recall that.
Yeah, I was supposed to be born in Tokyo.
What?
But my mom's doctor said, no, have Tom in Los Angeles, then you can go to Tokyo. My dad was stationed in Japan for 3 years.
Whoa.
So I'm sort of half kidding, but the origin culture for my family is – is in Japan for 3 years, and they're bowing that sign of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing bowing when I see people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want a fist bump or something,
sure,
but I'll give them a little bit of a bow.
Uh-huh.
And I love that. And I've done that with my Muslim colleagues in town. You know, you put one hand over your
mm-hmm.
heart and
mm-hmm.
you bow mm-hmm. to them a little bit, which mm-hmm. we did before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I love
mm-hmm.
that gesture.
Yeah.
So who knows if that'll become, you know, the mainstay.
Yeah, you brought up your
you shake, I'll bow.
Yeah, your Muslim colleagues, and I remember some of our wonderful conversations that we had when I was doing the television show for 22 years.
Yeah.
You were
with Imam Shaheen.
Yeah, you were often with yep. me on the TV show, and we would bring in a Christian leader, we'd bring in a Jewish leader, and we would bring in a Muslim leader. How is that relationship going in the community with the Muslims?
It's good. Well, for me.
Yeah. Well, for you, it's probably great because you're a very outgoing, open person. But,
well,
I mean, generally, how
so
is
here's,
it?
So here's the thing. It's been a real challenge because I'm spending so much time in meetings with the trying to form this new congregation. There's so many meetings, and I'm not spending enough time with my Christian and Muslim colleagues, so I'm trying to outreach. I made a new friendship with an evangelical minister up in the Northwest, and Glenn had me and a Muslim colleague on a Sunday morning prior to the pandemic.
Right.
And that was really lovely, and I'm trying to just really strengthen these relationships. So right now, as the barriers are lowering a little bit, I'm trying to get back in touch with my colleagues and spend a little more time with them.
All right, Rabbi, we're going to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our conversation with Rabbi Tom Lockheim will continue after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I am so excited that one of our longtime sponsors, our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, are once again welcoming out-of-state visitors. New Mexico had been very, very, very tight, closed up, really didn't want out-of-state visitors until they got a handle on COVID, which they did. Our friends over in New Mexico lead the nation in getting COVID vaccine into their residents' arms, and they are ready now to welcome Southern Arizonans to take that three-hour drive. It's a beautiful area of New Mexico. The Gila National Wilderness is there. So if you're looking for a great getaway and a place where it's a little bit cooler, like what is our midday temperature over in Silver City right now? About 70 degrees, something like that. So really nice that the elevation, you can't beat it, about a mile high. Same as Denver, 5,500 feet. So it's going to be cooler over there. So it's always a great summer getaway. Great starting place. Visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will find all sorts of information about what to do and some great places to stay. Rabbi Tom Lockheim is with us. We're talking about a kind of a meeting of the minds of two long-time, well, your congregation's fairly long-time rabbi, 25 years in Temple Emmanuel, over a 100-year history.
Right.
So,
and I was there for a short while.
You started.
Our relationship first started
there.
When I was
yeah,
the
you
rabbi.
You were there because I know during the TV show, and I came to town in 1988, I recall that that's where we first met when you were at the Temple Emmanuel. I think you started over there in 1989, remained there until 1994 when you went off to create a congregation or a Hadash. So the new congregation is going to be called Kol Ami. Did I get it?
Your Hebrew is excellent. You can be one of my advanced students, Bill.
There you go. Yeah, so Kol Ami. And one thing we didn't talk about in our first segment together, well, you've got your folks are over on North Alvernon, and of course, Temple Emmanuel since the 50s has been at the North Country Club location.
Right. Before that, they were on Stone Avenue.
So where will that become kind of the home location, the brick and mortar location for the new congregation?
Sure, maybe.
Maybe, depending on the inspection, the plumbing, and
conditioning. We have to do all that. But one of the things, again, as I mentioned the first segment, was people really want to come back together. And Temple Emmanuel on Country Club has got this beautiful sanctuary that people really feel a warm spiritual presence in that place. And we may make a few minor adjustments to the sanctuary to bring it a little bit more up to date and improve the lighting and things like that. But we think that that's a place to begin. And we'll maintain our Alvernon property, and our board will decide what to do with, you know, all mm-hmm. our great real estate resources.
Let's talk about the reentry for many people, the reentry into the post-COVID world. We really don't have a feel for that. Yes, everyone, we hope. I'm a huge proponent of people taking the COVID shot. That's going to quicken the reentry. But there are many people, Rabbi, who have not been out of the house, maybe just briefly since last March. I mean, what do you say to these folks?
Well, first of all, I want to do my little ad campaign for Pima County. They approached me, as they did with other business leaders and other clergy, and they had me do a mask on. Mm-hmm. a little brief segment. I don't know if you've seen it on the.
I haven't seen it. A little public
I'm
service.
I'm brilliant. Oh,
I didn't know you actually made the made that.
Yeah, yeah. We all had two lines. One was, you know, I wear my mask for the sake of my congregation. They
sure.
wear the mask for me.
Right.
So we practiced those two lines, and then they had two different commercials. Mm-hmm. So masking is really important. Even when, as things get better, all of the doctors are saying that. And getting the vaccines, whether it's the one Johnson & Johnson when we get that back or any of the others, is so important because you're doing that not only for your benefit, your family, but also for others as well. Getting back into the world is tough, and my suggestion is just to have people do it deliberately and slowly, and be sure that they are remaining safe. Don't get over exuberant and say, "Oh, I can do whatever I want now that I'm outside." This is a time still to be very, very careful. We went through this 100 years ago, as you know.
Sure, with the big flu epidemic.
Yeah, and we have not learned very many lessons
no.
Since then. The
no.
same mask protests
sure.
occurred 100 years
yes,
ago
they
as
did.
They do today.
Yep.
And they're still wrong.
The
so
whole,
do it carefully.
The isolation
yeah.
Piece, though, is a huge part of all of this. What's your advice to people to kind of reentry and get to know their neighbors?
Well, the first thing within your own isolation, there are still things that you can do.
Like,
and this is an important lesson that I. So one of the you have a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
You can call people.
Mm-hmm.
You have Zoom. You can have cocktail parties with friends you haven't seen in years who are 2,000 miles away.
Uh-huh.
You know, the reaching out to people by phone or by Zoom has been incredible. My dad died. You know, you probably don't know this. My dad died a year ago.
I do remember you mentioning
oh,
that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So one of the
in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of the practices in Judaism is that people come and, to be with the family and feed them, to comfort them when a loved one has died. Not possible, because he died in April last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we created Zoom different groupings for my mom of mm-hmm. friends, of grandchildren. And it was so amazing that she could have these connections and we could have these connections. So creating connections any way you can with your bubble, you know, is the first beginning that you do. And you can do it from home. You can start from home.
The Jewish holidays are, well, we just had the...
had Passover.
Yeah, just how did that go?
It was great. We have there's a new rabbi, Temple Emanuel. He and I have been in partnership for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we and the cantorial soloist from Temple Emanuel did a Passover service on Zoom for our congregation. And then my cantor did a Passover service for families with little kids simultaneously. And it went as well as could be expected. We still want to be together.
And now the big question, who will be your leader at your congregation? I saved that for the end of the interview. Who will be the leader over at Kol Ami?
So I'll be the rabbi. And Rabbi Salson, who's there now, his term ends June 2022.
Okay.
And then we have to determine an assistant rabbi, associate rabbi. But I already have two other clergy people working with me right now.
But the paperwork has been filed with...
No.
No. None of the...
it's all assuming.
Okay.
Things go well.
Assuming that the inspection of Temple Emmanuel goes well, the physical plant.
Everything, yeah.
The air conditioning, the parking lot, on and on it goes. Rabbi Tom Lockheim, always a pleasure to reconnect with you and see you. Thank you very much.
Love being with you, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition on this April the 21st. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. We've got a very popular show, the syndicated program, Dave Ramsey, talking about money. That's coming up next on KVOI. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.